There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, it's Friday. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. And a lot to do over the next couple hours. I like it when you are part of the show on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. 343-0106. You may take a second there and put that in your contacts, you know, for the station, because I'll be 7 days a week, morning, evening, live shows coming from our studios here. You might want to chime in on those programs. And by the way, too, if you download the FM Talk 106.5 app, you don't even have to keep it. You don't even have to keep our number in your contacts, because there's a way to dial right there from the app. Also send a text and leave us a talkback message all through the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is over at the iOS for iOS users. It's at the App Store. Google Play for the Android users. Just look for FM TALK 1065. Grab the app. A lot going on over there. And you got to download it before the weekend gets started. Download it. All right. Also, John Sharp joining me later in the hour. But as we get started here, I mentioned this to Jeff, and I don't know where to. I will get around to. I watched South Park last night, watched the season premiere. I know it's going to lead to some angry texts, and I don't care. I thought it was very funny. But I'm a person who believes in satire. I think it's a good way to push back against, government, no matter who's in the office. But we'll get to that in a second. The Ghislaine Maxwell thing. Yes, and I'm not off this Epstein, and I don't think I'm going to get off this. Hey, what a rollout failure this has been. You know, so many good things have happened with the Trump administration. This one is like unforced error, in my opinion. Or maybe if you believe conspiracies, there's a big reason for it, that it's going to be more damning to Trump than it will be to hide it, the damnation of hiding it. But we'll get this. So yesterday, a visit to Tallahassee for the DOJ. This is what, does this not frustrate y'all, whether it be the Biden administration or this time the Trump administration, that nobody had gone to say, you know, we got Ghislaine Maxwell down there. Maybe we'll ask her some more questions. You know, stuff that didn't come up in the trial or whatever. Maybe we'll just go ask her. I mean, we got somebody here who's alive right now. Let's go ask some questions. Well, it happened yesterday as the deputy AG took a trip to Tallahassee. It says here from Fox News, U.S. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche met with Ghislaine Maxwell in Florida on Thursday, just one day after a congressional committee voted to subpoena Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice to provide additional testimony surrounding his years of sex crimes. Did it take till darn near the end of July of 2025 to do this? It said, speaking to reporters outside, that was me adding, that's not in the story. Speaking to reporters outside the federal courthouse in Tallahassee yesterday afternoon, Maxwell's attorney David Oscar Marcus said his client and Blanche had a very productive day. Oh, okay, good, good, good. Productivity is good, right? Said Blanche took a full day and asked a lot of questions, Marcus said. Ms. Maxwell, actually he says Miss Maxwell, like am I, get the feminist math there, Miss Maxwell, after the things, you know what, after things she did, you can't be Miss. Yeah, Miss. MS. You can't. Miss Maxwell answered every single question. She never stopped. She never invoked a privilege. All right, this is getting somewhere, right? So she's not invoking. She said, bop, 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 bop. That's my translation of it. She never declined to answer. She answered all the questions truthfully, honestly, and to the best of her ability. How do we know that? How do we know that? The attorney declined to comment on whether the pair would be meeting again on Friday, but Blanche said they would be meeting again, okay? So this is coming from the deputy AG, U.S. Deputy AG Todd Blanche. So Marcus is the attorney for Miss Maxwell. Blanche is with the DOJ. So the attorney for Ghislaine says, I don't know if they're going to meet again. And then soon after, this Blanche from DOJ said, today I met with Ghislaine Maxwell. I will continue my interview of her tomorrow. The Department of Justice will share additional information about what we learned at an appropriate time, end quote. So they're meeting again today, but they'll let us know. Y'all good with that? An appropriate time. We'll figure out when that is. Okay, goes on the story. I think this is interesting. It said, the meeting came as Maxwell is reportedly compiling new evidence pertaining to an alleged government misconduct stemming from her 2021 trial to hand over to the Department of Justice, and her brother, Ian Maxwell, she will be putting before the court new material evidence that was not available to her defense in 2021, which would have had significant impact on its outcome. End quote. Interesting. Y'all with me? Interesting. Because there's another story we could hop to just while we're doing this over at the Daily Mail that's entitled, What's in the Box? Ghislaine Maxwell seen carrying mystery box into prison after secret meeting with Trump's DOJ. I don't know how secret the meeting was, Daily Mail, since it's like it was an announced thing. But it says here, Ghislaine Maxwell was spotted returning to prison with a box of materials after she was grilled by Donald Trump's Department of Justice over her association with former lover Jeffrey Epstein. So she got this. So back to the Fox story. So So she's long been regarded a key figure in the Epstein criminal empire. Duh. Often seen alongside him at social events and handling the logistics of his sexual escapades. That's what we're calling it. During the 2021 trial, Maxwell did not testify in her own defense and never provided her version of events to federal prosecutors leading up to the proceedings. What? Never. Listen to that. I mean, because I guess that would have been out in 2021, but I didn't have my ears tuned to that frequency. Ghislaine Maxwell didn't testify in her own defense. I remember that. But never provided her version of events to federal prosecutors. Does that seem odd to you? Seemed real odd to me. And I know a bunch of people say, well, if she had information, she could have traded. I think Jonathan Turley was talking about that on Fox the other day. I hear it. Yeah, Turley pointed to the assumption that if Maxwell had information to trade in exchange for her leniency in her sentence, she would have likely have done it years ago during her trial, calling the interview significant. Yeah, well, do we ask all the questions? If she never gave her version to the feds, let alone, I mean, she, you know, plead the fifth and sit there. That happens a lot. But if she never gave her, not in trial, but to, never gave her version at all. So there we go. And they're back today. So I guess they're talking today. And they will release more information at an appropriate time. You ready for that? She also is set to testify in front of Congress coming up next month. So we'll see where that goes. All right. So there's the latest. And, yeah, the story is, what's in the box? Ghislaine Maxwell going back into the federal, I guess it's a federal detention facility there in Tallahassee, got to be, with a box of documents that she's, so we'll see. All right, there's the latest on, I mean, the more you chew on this thing, the bigger it gets, right? It's like you get a big cow tongue oyster and you're like, my gosh, when is this all going to be? King of All Unnamed Texture says, Maxwell answered truthfully what she had for breakfast. Maybe. Yeah, is there anything to see here? All right, coming right back. Grab your text at 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1218 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on a Friday.
Yay!
This segment of the show brought to you by my man Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You know, you think about how hot it is. out there through snow, which we've had, right? Heat, rain, whatever, all the stuff the Postal Service will deliver in. So will the crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK pick up junk in. You like that? So it's when it's hot like this, you're like, that's a job I don't want to do when it's hot. 1-800-GOT-JUNK will do it. And listen, does it year-round. 18 years in the business, my friend Trey has been getting junk out of houses, offices, storage units, anywhere in Mobile and Baldwin County. And big stuff, we talk about that. See, Trey, I'm doing a good job reminding everybody about the big stuff. Like, you got an above-ground pool, you've got a swing set in the backyard, a storage building, got to get rid of. He can handle that. Boxes inside a house, furniture, getting it out of a house when you're going to sell or when you just bought. Or a storage unit you pay on every month. You're like, I don't need any of that junk. Well, get it gone with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. To make an appointment, and it is an appointment, which I love. Because by the way, I was trying to fix just a side note. On the phone last night with 45 minutes with Dish TV for a relative's TV. And the first appointment they could get me in would be Tuesday sometime between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. I said, well, I kind of got a job. But forget that. With 1-800-GOT-JUNK, you go online or pick up the phone and call them. Their name is the number. They find the day that works for you and a time, a specific time that works for you. And they send an appointment. How about that? You show up. You just point the junk you want gone. They'll quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes. They get it done then, and they're gone. So check them out. My buddy and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, let's go to the phones, and then we'll get to the text line here. Let's go to, Damon in Mobile. First up, hey, Damon.
Hey, how's it going, Sean? I haven't talked to you in a while. Hope everything's
it is. It's well. That, Damon. It's my buddy, Damon. Good to hear from you, man.
Hey, I just wanted to share why the last thing you said before you went to break is the more you chew on it, the bigger it gets. That made me laugh out loud, but that's absolutely true. There's a lot of people online talking about this, but there's a YouTube channel called Midas Touch, M-E-I-D-A-S.
Okay.
Touch, and they had a little guy, linked to another article where one of the inmates that was actually stayed in that actual facility where Epstein was housed, he said, what Attorney General Barr said was he was happy, he was comfortable with what the report was. That he, two guards fell asleep for 6 hours and they found him dead. He said, there's no way in any universe that would happen in a maximum security prison anywhere, any prison, but especially this one. He actually stayed in the block where Epstein stayed. It was called Tier 9. He said they do a bed check every couple hours or every hour. They actually walk around with nightsticks or flashlights, and every single cell they bang on that little metal slab they sleep on, and you have to raise an arm or a foot to make sure you're alive. And then they go. And then they call down to the bottom floor and say, okay, here's the bed count or whatever, the 22, everybody up here is accounted for. They say if they don't get that count at 2 hours, they resort to something called the doubles. That means two more guards come up, and then that triggers the backup plan of SWAT go up in like tactical gear. They send a call out to outside authorities because they assume that the guards are dead. If two guards don't call down every 2 hours with the count, their response is send two more guards up, and then all the alarms go into place, code red.
Because they're bad dudes up there, yeah.
Yeah, they think it's a mutiny. And, like an inmate mutiny where they kill the guard. They think that's what's going on up there if they don't get that count every 2 hours. So he said that would never happen. So two guards that fall asleep for 6 hours and they come up there and find the dead, he said there's no way. He said that's why he said there's no way Epstein committed suicide. Even in Mobile County, they wouldn't go 7 or 8 hours and not check
a bed. No, but listen, but Damon, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino told us there's nothing there. Didn't you hear them tell you there's nothing there? You do not believe?
And this is the other thing that's puzzling me. Maxwell, when they said they wanted to interview her, they said she was like afraid for her life. She thought she was going to be whacked next. Nobody involved believes that Epstein committed suicide. Virginia Giuffre, that's got all this stuff, whatever her name is.
She died. Died recently, right?
By suicide.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. And she said she wouldn't die. She wouldn't. She's going to make sure everybody that should be held accountable is going to do that before she dies. And then suddenly she commits suicide. So my point is, when you said the more you chew on, the bigger it gets. But it's crazy. But yeah, this guy was like, there's no way a maximum security prison, especially that one, two guards fall asleep for 6 hours.
Well, thanks. So now it's even getting bigger. We're chewing on it. Is it even getting? Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for adding to that, man. No, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Talk soon. Call back soon. From the text line here, so Martin says Ghislaine Maxwell is probably becoming a very, very wealthy woman just by keeping her mouth shut. She would gain nothing by spilling her guts. I don't know if she lost her money in the case or whatever, but I think that family had it piled up pretty good. But when would she be out? When would she be, like, even if they're giving her money, I don't think she has any, like children or anything that she'd be giving it to. And I don't know how long until she gets out. I don't know. But it's interesting that this is the first time we've moved to go, hey, let's ask her some questions. Maybe that might be a good thing. Terry says, I know many people are saying that Trump is involved with Epstein, and that's why no list of suspects. I personally believe if he was, the Dems would have used the nuclear option to stop him. They would have had to release all the names. They could redact those for investigative or national security. So, and Terry, we've talked about that before, right? That if he, and absolutely, I follow, and I've said as much as you've said, that if Trump was on the list, it would have been released. Biden administration would have released it and used it. Then other people push back, which is a fair back and forth, saying, well, maybe there's so many Democrats on it that they didn't want to release it. You're saying they could have done it and redacted other names. I don't think that there's Trump with underage people. I don't think that's there. But, I mean, he was friends with them. Is it, I'm not even going to say all the conspiracy stuff I see online, people that are in the administration, it's somebody else he's protecting. I don't know. But I think it would show that he hung around with the guy. I don't think, you know, but if that's what it is, this, like, obfuscation, I don't even say cover up yet, but obfuscation, slowing, this is more problematic than saying, hey, you know, I hung out with the dude. I didn't go with the underage stuff, but we partied. And so, I mean, you know, we both, you know, like to be playboys. And, you know, while I was partying with Vegas showgirls, this be Trump, right? You know, who were late 20s or 30s. Whatever Epstein did, that was his. Maybe it's something like, I don't know, but it seems like it's like the more you chew on this, the bigger it gets. The more you say, hey, don't look over here, the more we're going to look over here. And it's just, it's like maybe slow dripping this out. Just like that, the attorney for DOJ said, well, we'll release the information we find, we'll release it at an appropriate time. Okay, when is that? By the way, too, I was going to get this story in before the news. I don't have a chance, but we'll definitely try to get in before the end of the show. Kids going back to school next month, right? So AL.com has a story up, the things your kids might not be able to bring to an Alabama school this fall. And it's listing, you know, it's one of those stories like, don't send the kids back with these things. But one of the things they're talking about, and the laws out there for, you know, no cell phones in school, and then no vapes. You know, I'm here to provide ideas for entrepreneurs out there, because I don't have time, but I'm going to throw you the idea out. Because these are both things the kids can't have at school, the cell phone and the vape. Your cell phone has, smartphone has everything on it, right? I've got my mapping, I've got my radar on here, you know, I've got calendar reminder, I've got everything right there. But if I was a vapor, wouldn't I want to not have to keep up with my vape? When is somebody going to make, now follow me here, a smartphone that's also a vape, or a vape that's also a smartphone? Little combo. So you could be talking, and you could say, hold on, buddy. Hold on a second, man. All right. Hey, what's going on? I mean, something like that. You know, just kind of consolidation. Everything else is consolidated to go to your phone. You know, all the different pieces of equipment become part of your phone now. So, I mean, people have to keep up with two things. They have to keep up with their vape and their smartphone. What about combining them? Samsung, are you listening? The engineers, the new Samsung, what it'll be, the new Samsung 1084, S1084 with vape. It's just an idea, something I'm working on here. Let's see. Jason. Oh, that's a picture. Thank you for the Okay, he says first here, Jason says, Sean, if she never gave her version, what did she perjure herself about? Another one, jumping in on board with Damon and I. The thing keeps, if she never said anything, how would she, like I've said, and the fact that, not the fact that she didn't testify, that happens a lot of times in trials, but the fact that she never gave, like there was never a time that she gave her accounting of the events to the feds. Attorneys out there, you probably helped me on this one, but that leaves me scratching my head. And then Jason, thank you. I appreciate that. He said, sent me a picture of a van on a, what model John Deere? I forget what model John Deere, that had to expand it. Run a disc arrow, says, woohoo, it's Friday. Oh, wait, I'm a farmer. That's right. Well, the farmer's going to stay out of the fields right now. It's wet. They may get a Saturday off, maybe. All right, coming right back, my buddy John Sharp will talk about Hulk Hogan in the state of Alabama.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, that 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Text line 343-0106. Same for a phone call. And I gave this out yesterday. Thank you. I got some emails yesterday, and but we'll be. I'm going to say no rush, but get it done when you can. I mentioned yesterday, it was interesting. The timing was perfect, and no, it all happened organically. Planning this event coming up with the Mobile mayoral candidates is going to happen on the. Where's my calendar? I think it's the 14th, whatever that. It's in August. I got to turn to the at a glance calendar, which I should have had open here in my studio, but there it is. The 14th, August 14th. So August 14th is the Business Expo down at the Convention Center. We're there every year, and I do Midday Mobile Live from down there. This year, I'm flipping it around, and it will be a chance to hear from the four Mobile mayoral candidates. They will join me from noon to 2 in the right there where we're set up our booth at the Business Expo at the Convention Center. Now, you can come down. I want you to come down and be part of it, but you're part of it this way as well. Send me your questions like you did yesterday and email them, because I saw somebody text yesterday. We get so many texts every day that it's hard to keep. And if I'm not sitting here, then I can't screen grab it. Or send me an email. So it's my first name, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. In the subject line, put like Mobile mayoral question or something to that effect so I can get it. And I'm putting them in a little Outlook file there. And you got to be a citizen, resident of Mobile. And say, hey, and when we're asking it, either I'm going to have you record them or I'll just read them if you don't want to record them down the road. Let's say you don't have to give your last name, but, hey, my name's Sean. I live in Mobile. And what are you going to do about whatever? And send those to me and I'm going to compile those, and might not get to all of them because it goes. You never seem to get to all the questions during one of these events, but I'm going to get them and ask them as many as I can during this event. So your chance to ask the Mobile mayoral candidates. Specific questions about where you live in the city or the overall situation with the city, any of that. So email those to me and I'll keep them compiled and we'll roll them out coming up next month. All right, without further ado, this man and I have been talking like as Gen Xers. It's been a tough week for Gen Xers, John Sharp from AL.com. We've lost three and I guess we're starting a new list with Chuck Mangione. But, we've lost three icons of the 80s in a week's time.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a week. Real tough. The most recent one being yesterday, the news of Hulk Hogan passing away. Terry Bollea being his real name, but portrayed the character Hulk Hogan, who was iconic, as everybody's well aware, that grew up in our generation.
Yep.
His influence in pop culture in the 1980s.
He was thing. I'm going to back off here, too, because not only is John a great journalist, he's also a big wrestling fan. I just know this is from somebody, my perspective, who's not a big, didn't watch a lot of wrestling. His name was everywhere. I know there's a bunch of other wrestlers and people are like, oh, this person. Their names might have been big in wrestling world, but my mama knew Hulk Hogan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do. It was everywhere.
Yeah, he was on the front cover Sports Illustrated in 1985, which at that time was just, somebody wasn't really a we call a real sport, I guess you could say, to have him as an entertainer on the front cover of Sports Illustrated shows you exactly the influence he had at that time. It was monumental. In 1988, there was a NBC broadcast at the time, the main event, featuring Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, a rematch from WrestleMania 3. It drew 33 million viewers, which has not even been touched by a wrestling program since then.
33 million?
Right. If you look at it today, that's like double the number of those that watched the NBA Finals this year. So it's just amazing for a wrestling match, for that match. And it was, I'll never forget it because I was an impressionable kid back then in the 80s. And I was really big in the whole, Hulk Hogan was like almost like a fictional superhero come to life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on your TV every Sunday morning telling you to chant. Train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins. I mean, that makes an impact on a kid, you know, and it really, that's how I became a fan myself. I mean, this guy was the hero. He's super patriotic and coming to the ring with real American, ripping off his shirt and fighting the villains that were like the Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov. They were part of the USSR. And it was just quintessential 1980s. Sounds campy today, but as a kid back then, it was awesome. And they had the cartoon show back then. So yeah, he was rocking wrestling on MTV for those that were a little bit older. It was just a big deal. It was just he was such an influence. And then you go into the 1990s and he went from good guy. The good guy shtick was starting to wear its in the 90s. And he went from a good guy to a bad guy in 1996. And it took wrestling, which was really uncool at the time, into once again becoming mainstream. And then you had the Monday Night Wars of WCW and WWE at the time, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, all these guys emerged out of that era. And it was because Hulk Hogan really kind of brought it back again as a villainous bad guy. And the New World Order and all that other stuff. So there's really two eras there that you go from, for Gen Xers especially. You go from the 80s when we were kids, and then we're all in the high school and college in the 90s, and, that stuff from when we were kids isn't cool anymore. But wait a minute, Hulk Hogan became bad. Nah, I'm going to watch this. And he really, you could tell, the psychology of an audience. He really had that down pat.
Big time, and it understood the entertainment. And yes, it did carry on the 90s. My neighbors in the apartment complex I lived in Tuscaloosa, I was at school there for two of the years, they would have their door open, and they, these kids from Orlando had everything. They had the hi-fi surround sound, and they'd have wrestling playing with the surround sound. You could hear it through the whole apartment complex, so you had to end up learning something. It was like a big deal.
Yeah. It was a big deal. Let me just tell you, when I first got into college as a freshman in 1994, wrestling was so uncool. Nobody watched it except for me every once in a while. I'd go find a TV and kind of, I'd be about the only one watching it. By the time I graduated in 1998, because Hulk Hogan turns bad guy in 96, it was on in every dorm room that I can remember. I mean, the guys were all together watching Monday Night Nitro, Monday Night Raw. We had sometimes three TVs because I went to college in a small rural school in Illinois, and there was a lot of folks from Chicago that went to this school I went to, and the Chicago Bulls were big time, and Dennis Rodman was involved in wrestling. So, this whole thing got to be so huge.
I forgot that.
Yeah. So, we'd be watching the Bulls in the basketball game one moment, and the next moment he'd be on, Monday Night Nitro. Smoking cigars with Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And it was huge. So it's kind of funny. I always reflect on that. Like, I first got into college, this was so lame. Nobody would have ever watched wrestling with me. I was a fan. I admit it too. It's kind of lame, but it's one of those lame things I still watch from my youth.
Right.
By the time, I'm graduating college, everybody's hooked. So it was kind of interesting.
But you talk about branding. I mean, just whatever, this is wrestling, but to take a brand that goes into a trough like that and then bring it back from that and make it popular, that's a testament. It's marketing. It's marketing.
Right, and you're correct. And there was a period of time in the 90s where, you had the steroid scandal going on, mm-hmm. and Vince McMahon's WWE WWF, became WWE eventually, which is what it is now, was really struggling and floundering. And there was there's been stories over the years that it was about ready to go out of business. And, you know, WCW really pushed it with Hogan turning bad, forming the New World Order. Those ratings popped for WCW and it got really big. And so WWE stepped up their game and you had this huge Monday Night War that not, you know, largely professional wrestling's in the mainstream now, largely because of what happened in the 90s. And you really have to go back to a character like Hulk Hogan going from the good guy to the bad guy and that really generating that interest again, feeling that, you know, that marketing blitz that just came right out of the 90s. And it hasn't really gone away. I mean, a lot of people you hear, oh, wrestling's not like it used to be. But you know what? It's pretty popular. It has its own, you know, streaming service. It's pretty significant. The kids watch it nowadays. And I mean, people are really into it. WrestleManias are in huge, massive sports stadiums, whereas in the 80s, they were still held in smaller cities and smaller venues. So it's really taken off over the years. It's become part of our mainstream. Whereas I remember as a kid, and even into the 90s, you know, it wasn't part of the mainstream. It was still kind of this, I mean, it, you know, Hulk Hogan became this cultural icon, but wrestling was never really mentioned by ESPN.
Right, right. And you didn't have Chris Berman. Now, Chris Berman wasn't commenting on the latest right. wrestling match.
And now it's part of the discussion. So, so that's just kind of, you know, going down a little bit of memory lane. Well, but, yeah, Hulk Hogan was the guy.
Well, you're the person to have written it. And then you, in this piece that y'all can find at AL.com right now, you trace Hulk Hogan's wrestling journey through Alabama. So let's talk about that. I mean, because he was born in Georgia, right?
Yes. But and he got trained in Florida. And it's just a real – I really enjoyed doing this yesterday, as you can tell. Mm-hmm. But it was a fascinating trip down a little bit of memory lane going into Alabama. I was able to get a hold of a gentleman that used to do broadcasts in Dothan television in Dothan for the wrestling matches at the time. It was called Southeastern Championship Wrestling. Charlie Platt's his name, and he's quoted throughout my article. He was a great interview. But yeah, I mean, it's there's footage online. It's easy, you can easily find it. I included a video embedded in my story as well of an arm wrestling match that Hulk Hogan had with Andre the Giant in 1979. This is 8 years. Yeah. It's awesome. He's in flip-flops and all this other stuff. And Andre, you know, before he got unhealthy and huge, and he's, you know, it was just a cool moment of these two wrestlers that at the time nobody, I mean, you know, it's, we were still 8 years away from their WrestleMania 3 match, in which that filled up the Pontiac Silverdome at the time. I think 90 some thousand fans is what they've always said. But this was occurring on Dothan at the, you know, at the farm center, you know, and it was part of a television taping. And it's just amazing to think of that, you know, with these early encounters that these two people that are, you know, their names are known throughout the world for what they did at the time that this was all going down in Dothan. And then on top of that, talking to Mr. Platt, he had indicated that, you know, after that arm wrestling match, these two had a wrestling match itself in New Brockton, Alabama, somewhere in Coffee County, Alabama. And
kind of off the beaten path.
It's a town of about 1,500 people. Now, if somebody has video footage of this match, oh my gosh, please surface it immediately, because that would be an amazing get. I don't know of anybody that does. Maybe there's some pictures out there somewhere. Even that would be cool to see. But I mean, you know, for a town like New Brockton, they ought to have a statue or monument saying Hulk Hogan and Andre first wrestled here.
That'd be awesome. Have a bronze of them two wrestling right there, the bronze in the town square.
It'll be a total tourist attraction, kind of like when the band Kiss played in Cadillac, Michigan. They have this thing outside the football stadium says Kiss played at, you know, our homecoming in 1975 or 6 or whatever. And people come from all over to see this silly thing. So it's, you know, one of those things like before some, you know, pop culture
persona becomes real famous, they cut their teeth here in this community, you know, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, it was you know, some neat storytelling. Hulk Hogan and Harley Race had a championship match in Dothan. Now, Hulk Hogan in 1979 had never won like the World Heavyweight Championship. That was a big deal back then. But he fought Harley Race for the title in Dothan, Alabama. Was one of, maybe the first time he fought for a title of that prestige, and was in Alabama. So he really went from a green young competitor that was trained out of Florida. He came into Alabama, and here he is wrestling Andre the Giant, who was an attraction in the 1970s, and Harley Race, who was the champion back then. And from there, he takes off. I mean, you know, he goes to Japan. He goes to, you know, all over the country, American Wrestling Association, then off to WWF. So, yeah, I mean, he had you could make the argument that, you know, the initial moments of the Hulk Hogan phenomena began here in Alabama.
It's a cool story. I'll read through the details there and go watch that video, the arm wrestling match. But to think about, you know, he dies of cardiac arrest. And there's, I didn't know it at the time, but reading yesterday, the rumor mill about, you know, his health had been bad. But it was just last year. It was 2024 RNC to be, and I get that he was 70 at that point. Please throw me in that briar patch. Let me look at like that at 70, because I never have. But I mean, he looked like he was in great shape. You know, he was ripping the shirts off there, and you know.
Yeah, I had it. Yeah, and I got to interview him, albeit briefly. I asked him a few questions over at the Piggly Wiggly in Fairhope. He was coming around.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, Alabama marketing is his new line of beer, Real American Beer, and he stopped off the day after the election in Fairhope. I think I was probably the first journalist to ask him, for his comments about the election. And so I wrote that story as well. That was kind of a neat moment.
Did you geek out? I never even got to talk to you afterwards. Nah. Did you pull it together? Did you go, hey, Mr. Hogan, I got some questions for you. Or were you cool?
I was cool about
okay.
it. We were off to the side. His handlers were kind of tight on what he could talk about. Although he did open up to had a quick interview with Fox 10, which is good as well. I linked to that in our story that. In which he talked about briefly about his experiences in Dothan. I mean, they obviously made an impact on him when he has, you know, these early matches against guys like Andre the Giant, Harley Race. I mean, that has a huge impact on a young wrestler who's trying to work his way up into, you know, the main cycle of things. But yeah, he was, I mean, he looked fine to me. He was an older wrestler and, you know, limped around and that sort of thing. He's had so many surgeries, over the years, back surgeries, knee surgeries,
but
you
name it. He didn't go, you know, Andre the Giant style. He didn't get fat. I mean, he was, you know, looked like he, I mean, at the RNC
right.
thing, I didn't see him at the event you were at, but he looked like he's, I mean, please, let me look at it like that at 70.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you know, certainly, and he lived to 71. And the sad reality is a lot of the wrestlers that, you know, Gen X grew up watching have mostly passed away at young ages. I mean, these are guys that don't live to 80 and beyond.
Well, you think the CTE that happens, you know, even wearing a football helmet, that I use that as an excuse why I'm, you know, dull now. Can you imagine having, even if it's a stunt, having your head banged against something with no helmet on, over time, that takes a toll.
Yeah, when these guys were going hot and heavy in the 80s and 90s, too, they didn't get many days off. I mean, there's no off-season in wrestling. I mean, they go full bonkers. And, you know, I've talked to guys that work on the local levels over the years, and they're, you know, it's something that they love to do. But, I mean, it's, you know, they get injured. They have to take their own time off. There's no money for them. I mean, that's sort of, it's a tough business. It really is. It's, you know, but everybody's trying to make it big but yeah, it's been, you know, it's one of those things. It's just a tough industry and these injuries happen frequently.
Y'all going to read this and watch the embedded videos. Go over to AL.com, or if people want to have wrestling memories with you, because there's a bunch in our audience that do, I guess they could reach out to you over on X, or where do they go find you?
Yeah, I'm on X. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm not hard to reach. If you really want to talk wrestling, I'll talk.
He will. I know. It'll be a conversation out of my league, so I'll let y'all have it, you know, and I'll just look from afar and watch y'all's comments. John, have a great weekend, man. Thank you for this story.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
All right, johnsharpal.com, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:57, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile this Friday. Get a second here. We'll go to the news, come back, and get a whole other hour together. Very great. Dirt Digger, thank you for the text. And Sean, on my smartphone, I have my favorite radio app, the FM Talk 106.5 app. Excellent. Cool, too. Like I've told y'all before, I get to see, like, it doesn't show me who or anything, nor would I want that kind of information on you. It just says, like, hey, somebody's using the app from these states, right? It's got, like, a heat map on it where it shows, and, like, South Alabama in the state is, like, the darkest red of the use. But it's always cool to see, like, people have the app. They're California, Oregon, Montana, Texas, New York, Illinois, just Florida, a bunch, like, people using the app there. So that's cool. People out for work or whatever get to, like, tune in the morning. People have sent me emails, said it's real nice when they're out of town working to be able to have the app, do the alarm, and wake them up and get to hear Dan and Dalton kind of give them the news from back home while they're away. And Jason, well, my idea was good for a second. My idea of combining a smartphone and a vape. Jason, good on the Google, said, great idea, Sean, but it's available. And he sent me a, yeah, it's a thing. It's already out there. Well, all right, so I'm going to take that idea off. I'll come up with some new good entrepreneurial idea next hour, maybe. If not, Monday. Okay, news coming up, and then we're right back.